Let's ride the drive is live, like it'd be like for us. If man, we try to sprinkle in maybe a gymnastics conversation, or we try to sprinkle in a little Mary Lou Redden, yeah.
Mary Lou out there having a good time, ain't she?
Too good of a time.
That much shop something.
Damn, Mary. Get your damn Uber, sister. Giving get her that you a time. Private driver.
That Tony La Russa out there in her is what she out there.
I got a couple of my kin folk thought real highly of Mary Lou Redden. Hell, they'll drive. You need a ride, call them. They'll come from Baytown to scoop
them. They probably love her even more now.
She living in Houston or she living somewhere else? Where'd she get that D-dub?
Well,
West Virginia.
What the hell is she doing in West Virginia?
I didn't know they had drinking laws in West Virginia.
They have drinking laws. They don't, but they got driving.
She trained in Houston, but she's from West Virginia.
I'll be damned, boy. I thought Mary Lou Redden was a Houston girl.
You want to know anything about gymnastics? I'm
your guy. You're the guy.
Okay. There you go. Arby's.
How do you sit through?
I've always said Lopez and Arby's.
Gymnastics, soccer king.
How do you sit through a 3-year-old gymnastic class and not get mad at the instructor?
I mean, it's ridiculous. Arby's.
You want to know my issue?
Your phone?
You want to know my issue with Arby's?
What's your issue?
You can't trust a fast food spot that you primarily find attached to an 18-wheeler stop. And shout out to all you semi drivers. We need you, and that is a tough ass job. But every Arby's I see
really
is like a part of like a what are those Hertz maybe?
Really. I don't know how to, like, just hooked up to one of the...
Yeah, really. Maybe it's just me.
You don't see a lot of standalone Arby's? I see some. There was one right by the crib.
I don't know where one is, like, in my general area of Houston.
In fact, I wrecked my mom's... Well, it wasn't me, but I wrecked my mom's Bonneville because of Arby's.
It wasn't her bike.
Her
Bonneville, man. It was a nice green one, baby. Had a CD player in there. I was working at Just for Feet. And there was a way that I would go every time. I-70, Just for Feet. That's the way to go.
I've never heard of that place.
But then I had to have a beef and cheddar. And it wasn't just a small one. The biggest one. You know, they got 3 different levels of that beef and cheddar. And I'm going for the big one.
That's one of the nicknames I have for a type of fart I have.
I'm winking. Hey, I'm playing football. I'm playing D-line, so I got to put on weight. That's what I told myself. But I was just hungry. And then I got the large curly fry, but I had to go the other way. So I had to go 40 Highway. Had to go the other way. I was sitting there trying to get on, and somebody just, bam, drilled me in the back. Oh, I was so pissed that all that Arby's flew everywhere. I didn't get to eat any of them.
Just meats flying
Did
everywhere.
Did you have it out?
I ate some of the fries. I won't lie about
it's
that.
It's illegal to drive
it, was sitting in the passenger seat, but I was sitting there trying to get on, and dude just drilled me. Missed that bad boy. I'd have never gotten that wreck if I didn't go to Arby's.
You all right?
Be honest, did you pick one up off the floor and eat it, a fry or anything before you get out?
No. I was pissed, though. I was thinking about it. As soon as everything got taken care of.
That's good.
Like, at first, in my mind, I'm 16. I'm like, oh, God, she's going to kill me. But then, like, I realized when I was talking to her, where did they hit you? Did you hit somebody? That's always. Parents. Always. At least my parent. What did you do? Did you
Are
hit
the other
somebody?
People okay?
No, I was just sitting there waiting to get on, and some dude just came behind me and drilled me. And then she said, "Are you all right?" I said, "My back's kind of hurting a little bit, but I could hear the gleam of money in her eyes, in her voice." She said, "It hit you where?" I said, "They came and hit me from behind in the back." So they hit you from behind. I said, yeah. She said, how's the car? I said, I don't mean it's all the way smashed in from the back. She said, do you think it's total? Ask the tow truck person. Do you think it's total? I mean, like, I don't know, but I could hear the, oh, hell yeah.
Did you get a new one?
A little bit of financial angst.
We got two, we got two cars.
Said, all right, now you start limping. we're going to get that liability insurance, too.
Hey, we got two cars out that joint. We got a brand new Ford Escape. This is when they just came out. And then that's when her ass took me to go get my hair cut one day and showed up and said, hey, I saw a car and I bought you and I couldn't pass it up. Walked out there. She had that Ford Escort with the bike racks on the top. the station wagon. I just had to say, thanks, Mom. I was in a place like, damn, man.
Neon lights underneath.
I'm looking at Honda Accord, maybe a Civic. She came out there with that damn station wagon.
It was an Escort station wagon?
Yeah. Hatchback. It wasn't a station wagon.
Put you some 15s on that thing, man. Put some neons underneath the edges. You'd be rolling.
Listen, I don't know what your relationship was with your parent, But mine was not a if I got a car bought for me to have any complaining. I'm just sitting in that damn seat, and I could see it outside. I was just staring out outside the window the whole time, finishing my haircut. No, I wouldn't show a note, nothing outward.
You gotta hide them emotions.
I was cussing her smooth out inside me, like inside. Like, are you kidding me? You just don't even want me to have any success in high school. You don't want me to get no ass. You don't want me to have no sex. Now you got me in a hatchback.
Hold on, so.
You could have pulled the escort off the escort station wagon.
Well, no, could have. I had it for 2 years, baby.
That's a tough. It ends up being the ride that everybody wants to get in because you got enough room for everybody.
I had
pick
that
everybody
bad boy
up going to practice.
I had that bad boy for 2 seasons. 713-572-4610. We know Tyler's first car was a Hummer. What was your first one?
Wasn't a lot of space in the Hummer.
It isn't. What was your first car that your parents or you bought yourself?
Small interior, believe it or not, that H3.
I know, my homeboy had one. Not a lot of room in there. Boy, it pissed me smooth off. All right, Clint, Nico Collins spoke yesterday. They did have practice today, closed in the media. It will be open tomorrow, so we'll be able to bring a little bit of what we see from the Texans, but they're fresh in at OTAs right now. But you said something when we talked to Brandon Scott yesterday on Texans Report every single Wednesday at 4:40. When Nico Collins, and I'll just read the commentary because, listen, there is audio, but it doesn't sound great. It's distant, it's far back. But Nico Collins said about this offense, it made something clear that you wondered and we wondered about. He said, right now we're in the learning stage, new offense, new words, new terminology, so we got to digest that first. And so we talked about, yes, this is a new thing. This is not going to be a thing in which they're running and having similar terminology as they've had in the past under Bobby Slowick's offense, even though most of the offensive staff is still there, right? Really, it's just Nick Caley and an assistant that he brought over from the Rams that are the new ones, but everybody else is the same. And Clint, you said yesterday you were surprised. You were maybe even shocked that they actually did make a change, and this is now ground zero here of starting and learning a whole new offense.
Yeah, look, I need to hear more from everybody over there, but if you hire Nick Caley, who's never called plays, who's never done anything beyond coaching tight ends, and you hire him as your offensive coordinator to keep everybody on staff, and all of a sudden Nick Caley is dictating all of the terminology and everybody around Nick Caley is expected to learn a new system, terminology and all, that seems like a big stretch to me. That seems like a losing proposition. To me, I would think that a big plus or a big selling point to D'Amico Ryans in bringing Nick Caley in is, hey, man, we can keep the terminology the same. We can add some things, which would ultimately be Nick Caley taking the New England stuff and kind of tweaking it and putting it in the terminology that your team already knows. It's not like Nick Caley would be having to learn a whole new offense. It's the same terminology and the system he's been in the last 2 years. The thought that this team is talking about learning new terminology and learning a new offense the first time they speak to the media in OTA setting is interesting to me.
Because you seem to be, that's what you, so you thought that was the big thing was, all right, they're going to bring him in and it's going to be more of a Nick Caley kind of learning what it is that they want to do. Because this happens with Alabama. Alabama under Saban, yeah. Right? Bill O'Brien had to do it. Other guys had to do it. He had an offensive system. They called the plays, but they had to learn the system. I remember Bill O'Brien saying that Bryce Young had to help him kind of learn the system. You thought it was going to be that situation. You didn't think there was a real strong possibility that Nick Caley would bring his in.
I just thought one of the pluses of signing of hiring a guy out of a Sean McVay or a Shanahan or that tree that is Green Bay, that is Miami, that is San Francisco, that is Atlanta, that is the Rams, you know, that whole system, like, the thought of hiring a young guy from one of those systems, I would think that a huge selling point for me, it would be a prerequisite. It wouldn't even be, if it weren't the case, I wouldn't hire the guy. But you would think in hiring that guy, one of the pluses would be, hey, man, we're not starting from ground zero. We're actually going to start, you know, on level two or three or four, just because we know we got some 90% of our playbook is the same terminology. Whatever needs to be, like the shift that would need to be made would be Nick Caley taking the old stuff that he had in New England, whatever they called it there, with McDaniels and Bill O'Brien, whoever the hell he was all under, right? And then kind of him putting it in everybody, the Texans language. A huge plus to me of Nick Caley coming was that. Now, you take that off the table, the Nick Caley hire is even more concerning to me than it was in the moment.
I think ultimately, I don't think I would have been surprised by many things here if they'd have gone that way or that route. Because you could see one, a coordinator coming in and running his offense, right? He's waited this long to do it. You could see like him coming in and saying, all right, this is the offense that I'm used to. There's some similarities with the McVay and the, you know, Shanahan thing, but maybe not completely what he does. Or I could see like, hey man, the writing's on the wall, man. We got 8 or 9 guys that are all on this offensive staff last year. They're still here. We all know the system. CJ all knows the system. Yeah. And I could have seen that go anyway. Ultimately, I think this is, and I said it yesterday a bit, ultimately it makes me feel better that, all right, as you said, you want to see Nick Caley be a guy that kind of is running the thing. Well, him coming in and saying, this is my offense. This is what we're learning. We're learning my offense. Now, I do think it may slow kind of the process down and the start to be a bit slower because everyone's learning things. But ultimately, I feel better about Nick Caley as an OC that he'll come in and run the offense he wants to run and not coming in and run what they want to run.
Yeah, look, here's the difference, right, is like you said, it's more likely that there'll be a slow start. It's more likely that the playbook will be very limited in the first month of the season. It's more like there will be more likely to be some mental mistakes because you got guys that are learning and trying to figure out where to line up. Versus, hey, I've heard that before. I know exactly where to kind of deal. It just changes the game drastically. And when you hire a Nick Caley, it's going to be really hard for me and I think for most of the fan base to be patient. When you look at what you're dealing with, because if this thing doesn't work and work right away, we have now watched the Houston Texans play through the most important, the cheapest years of C.J. Stroud on that rookie contract, and we have nothing but a bunch of young coordinators to show for it. So that's that to me. Again, to me, keeping the staff together and bringing in a new guy that knows the same system, that has familiarity with several guys in the building. The plus is we can pick up where we left off, not start completely over. For me, anyway, that's just where I'm at with it. I can tell you this. It is significantly. I don't care if it were Chip Kelly coming in here, right? Like, just forget about being Nick Caley and be. I don't care if it's Chip Kelly coming in here. When you burn one playbook and you introduce another one, you are going to spend a huge chunk of your training camp installing basic stuff, right? Yeah. And that's the concerning part of this thing. And look, don't let the fact that. Boy, C.J. Stroud's rookie year and Bobby Slowick's first year, they were pretty damn good. Don't let that fool you. That was a rare year. That was an unbelievable year by everybody involved. Like, I mean, it's a different animal to install an offense, and your training camp looks totally different. Yeah. And you want to talk about problems. Let D'Amico's defense go up against this offense, and they're advanced, and they're really, really good, and they're advanced. And you're trying to install an offense? Ooh,
as Kick Rock said, why in the world would we want the same system as last year?
It's not. It's because that same system as last year is the same one that Shanahan in San Francisco took to to Super Bowls and NFC championships. The same one that Sean McVay runs that's gone won a Super Bowl and gone to the playoffs and over exceeded last year. I mean, it's the same. It's from this. The context of this conversation is all about terminology. And anybody that comes out of a Shanahan tree, anybody that comes out of the McVay tree, anybody that comes out of the Kubiak tree, those guys, generally speaking, are going to have very similar terminology, right? There may be different wrinkles. I'll give you an example, right? Like when you're talking changing terminology in a wide receiver saying, I've got to learn new terminology. Bill Parcells' offense was zero out slot. Right? Zero was an I-4. Instead of saying I-right or king right or queen right, like it was zero was that formation. So you went from literally a tag, a word, to a number that was formations. Like you literally flip-flop it. Some people have, you know, the route tree and everything's the routes are numbers. Other ones, the routes are indigo is an in, is a go route inside and a go and a dig route outside. Like you've got, it's just a difference. So when I hear we're learning new terminology, this isn't like, hey man, it's just a couple things here or there. To me, it's clearly they're calling formations differently. All the motions are different. The protections are all different. So it's just that is a huge, huge over, you know, like to ask quarterbacks in an offense to learn a complete new system is typically not a 1 year, let's get it done and let's take off from where we started by week one kind of deal.
All right, coming up as we continue here, the Astros, big series, 2-game sweep, a little homestand. They've started here the first 6-5-1, but what did we see yesterday? Yesterday may be something that could potentially change the thinking of guys like Dana Brown. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Oh, show, Clint. I love the show, man.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we continue here with The Drive. Remember, come hang out with us tomorrow as it is it is the ninth stop of our 610 Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit. Tomorrow we'll be there at the Crafty Crab, Fondren Road here in Houston. Come hang out with us, supported by our great friends with Academy Sports and Outdoors, Bud Light, Budweiser as well. There'll be giveaways on site each and every hour. You'll have a chance to win. Also, you can get to have them buds, that cold beer. Never know what kind of special spots be having. I'm sure the Crafty Crab will have it for you. And you get to hang out with us, the number one afternoon drive sports talk show in all of Houston. The number one sports talk show in all of Houston.
When you get a chance to party.
At least how y'all do it. Come on out, hang out with us tomorrow. We'll be there from 2 to 6. It'll be a good time, as always. And you got a chance also to win our grand prize. Our grand prize, which is a $500 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as beer for a year, Budweiser, Bud Light. So that is also in play for you if you come on out with us tomorrow to the Crafty Crab. All right, Clint. Lance McCullers had a hell of a performance. This was him yesterday following the game and it was by far his best performance since he's been back. This was Lance discussing what happened.
It's hard to say, I guess. I think after my first surgery I was a different pitcher and I had success, and I think after this surgery I'm going to be a different pitcher and I'm hoping to continue to find success. Obviously the velo and things of that nature, I don't know if I'll ever be throwing 97, 98 again, but you never know. I think some things just take time. I think, you know, like today it was a big emphasis on executing early, stop putting myself in such a big hole in that first inning, pitch count wise, things of that nature, and I was able to execute that today.
All right, that was Lance McCullers, and hell yeah, he was able to execute it yesterday. Clint, it was, when you look back at it, especially from a strikeout perspective, it was the best performance of the year from an Astros pitcher, right? Oddly enough, you go check at it. I don't believe Hunter Brown or Framber have eclipsed 10 strikeouts. I don't think they've. Hunter Brown's probably had 9 four or five times. Ronel had to 11, but 12 strikeouts, one walk. That was the best performance we've seen from a pitcher from that perspective. And really, overall, 6 innings, 3 runs, 12 Ks, 1 walk, 5 hits is one of the best we've seen, Clint. And I'm telling you right now, I think Lance deserves a new name. I know for a long time on this program, it was Luxury Lance.
Yes, it was.
You dubbed
it.
We give you your flowers for that. You dubbed it your daisies, your roses, your lilies. You got your flowers for that.
I like Stargazer lilies, but go ahead.
I knew you was going to chime in after you was going to Lowe's or Home Depot every day, Philip.
Stargazer lilies, man. Yeah. They're great, beautiful.
I was going to say begonias, but I let it go. but I think Lance is the wild card now. I think Lance is the wild card right now. Look, with this rotation, he ain't going nowhere. As we said yesterday, he ain't got to look over his shoulder. But, Clint, if he is anything close to what he showed yesterday, right, like you talked about yesterday, you think that you're ready to accept that he is going to be in a space where he's going to be a dependable starter every fifth, sixth day, whatever they're doing. But if he's anywhere close to this guy, and this guy is, like, this is a front of the rotation type pitcher. This is your front three may rival any front three in baseball. If he's anything like that, Clint, it completely changes, to me, the approach of Dana Brown and what they're going to have to do coming up for the deadline. Because I think they're going to have to find pitching, if anything, for depth right now. As we talked about yesterday, if they lose somebody, you know, they got to really dig deep down. But if he's pitching like this, Clint, it may be more of a depth play than a Kikuchi type play.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I just wanted to say. I know, man. I hope they do make it. I don't know if they can find one that'll even rival the Kikuchi get last year, but but look, I like it. The wild card aspect of Lance to me is if the Astros get Spencer Arrigetti back, when they get him back, if he is, let's just say who we thought he was, and he's a guy that is a top three in a rotation and you can trust him in a playoff start. And then you've also got Lance, and you've got him pitching well. I mean, maybe not 12 strikeouts a game, but pitching well, locating pitches, not getting behind in early innings in pitch count, not getting the pitch count, you know, ballooning the pitch count through two innings kind of deal. If you get that Lance right there, the Astros are sitting beautiful from a starting pitching perspective once you get into late season, once you get into the playoffs. I can jive with letting Luxury go. He's damn sure not a luxury anymore. He's damn sure something that you need. And I agree with you. He's a wild card where if he pitches well the rest of the way and just stays healthy and pitches well the rest of the way, the wild card aspect of it is, again, you know he can chew up starts and chew up innings throughout the regular season. The wild card spot is, does he do that well enough to get through the regular season and then not upseat Spencer Arrigetti come playoff time, depending on what Spencer does when he comes back? Yeah. Or does he go out there and crush it the way that he did yesterday and he gives you a four-man rotation that you're super comfortable with?
Because my thing is, I don't think either of you would say, like, right now, if they had a playoff series, I don't think it's a guarantee that Lance gets a start. Like, if everybody's healthy.
Guarantee, no.
Like, you know what I'm like? I'd probably still be more inclined if Spencer Arrigetti was healthy to maybe run him out there right now from what we've seen. But if he pitches like that, Clint, he's, yeah, like, it's clear where it is right now. And I'm just saying, if this is a turn the corner and we're starting to see a guy that doesn't struggle to get out of the fourth or the fifth, and a guy who's giving you 6 innings and has the strikeout ability, I think they need pitching, but I think it changes the type of pitching that they potentially have to go after if Lance is going to do this. So I think they may pause a little bit to see what the hell
they have. I think they add a starter, but it, this could depend on what kind. All right. We talked about what we thought is the best group on this team, this Texans team, going into the season. We got, or at least Clint did it yesterday, got a chance to see it for the first time. We'll let you know if any of that changed. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Somebody texted and said, I'm turning 60. I'll be at the Crafty Crab.
Come through.
We'll be there too.
Happy birthday, friend. It's a big one.
Come through.
I'm going to try real hard. I need to check their menu out. I did all right last week.
You're pretty good with seafood, though, huh?
I did all right. I like seafood. I'm just, you know, I know Monday's going to come quick.
Oh, I misunderstood what you were saying.
Trying,
I got
try
you.
Try to fight it now.
I got you. Pulling for you, bro.
I'm about going up spots like that, trying to fight it.
What do we got to get to? Do we say 12?
12 pounds together. Mm. Short week, too, by the way, on that.
Oh, y'all are going to crush it.
Got to get to work.
I've got to find a way to... Got to find a way to eat chicken wings without ranch.
Oof. That is tough. Can't even imagine what that'd be like.
Like
hot
I
sauce,
mean,
Chief. Hot
no,
sauce.
I could do, yeah, but I'm, yeah, from like restaurants, spots that they say blue cheese is better. I hate blue cheese.
I hate blue
cheese. Yeah, it ain't that much better.
And I don't think, yeah.
Booty.
I mean, hot sauce, I can see where you chew a cheddar.
Yeah, hot sauce.
But I don't know that just the ranch aspect of wings, unless you're just literally going wrist deep in the ranch, I don't know that the ranch is going to keep us from getting to 12.
I don't know.
Ranch is packed pretty good with some calories, isn't it?
Can be.
Well, it can be, but I mean, I just...
If it's the worst thing that I do in a day, it's not bad.
Not
her heroin.
Well, I mean, you're the way you're working out and burning calories is
not
at a
calories.
I mean, you're just...
Heroin.
Be hard to not burn that ranch.
Yeah, you're right.
But hey, I mean, look. I mean, if
you
you're
know what the hell,
if
with
you're
it.
Looking to bodybuild, no, look, I don't want to
no,
discourage
hell
you.
With it. Hell with it.
I don't want you to bring two ranches. I don't want to discourage you. But I just don't want you to be such a 180 that you get burnt out. You know,
no,
what
I'm
mean?
Not trying. Yeah, I'm just trying to get. I know it could potentially be a weekly thing, and I'm just trying not to.
We're gonna amp up the intensity as we go. I probably need to start doing it right now. Actually,
I just want you to. Like, don't start trying to treat me the way that you treat your wife.
No.
Like the way you in there where you're,
that'd be awkward.
When you come in there, well, not the sexual part, but you come in there and when they're out there lifting weights and she's getting there and you get yourself in the doghouse in silent treatment
for a
couple of days.
That'll
we're gonna amp up the intensity.
Intentions are always good, boys. The intentions are
always
good.
We're gonna amp up the intensity as we go. Lauren Mack, eat the ranch, Ron. No, I'm trying. Hey, I can get them naked. Eat them without, you know.
Eat the ranch and get you an extra 10 minutes of cardio. Or find you a sauna. It's good for you.
A little time on the stationary bike.
Ranch light, Ron. Someone texted in. We'll see.
Stay away from that buttermilk.
By the way, I saw David Culley in the gym today.
Really?
You got a workout in with Culley?
I saw it.
Former Houston Texans head coach David Culley.
Shout out to David Culley. Leg day. Saw him in the old gym.
Did you talk to him?
I didn't. It caught me real quick. I'm sitting there hitting the shoulder press, and I just came up and got finished, and then walked by. I said, "Why, damn, I know that is. I know that face.
That is a rich man."
And then he walked through. I said, "That's David Culley." He went up there and hitting them legs. He was banging up all the legs. So shout out to David. He looked good, too.
That's H-Town. I didn't know he got down here and fell in love in H-Town, didn't he?
Just stayed down there. Yep. Stay in the neighborhood. So it's got to be weird, though. He stays in the same neighborhood as guys got his job. Yeah, same neighborhood.
If we got to go three and out and punt it, we're good.
It looked good, though, man. He looked good, man. Yeah, look good, man.
Man, he was so good.
He really did. I did. I almost was going to say, hey, coach, I almost did. You know.
His sound bites were so bad that I couldn't help but laugh. But as a fan over here, I also wanted to cry.
I mean, we could have a Culley segment, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first time I've run into him in the little neighborhood, the gym that our neighborhood has.
Well, if it happens again, man, go on, get him on get a segment.
I might say something to him. Coach, how you doing? I know you don't maybe not remember me. That was during the COVID years.
Coach, you ever been interested in any radio, man?
You want to come on in, do a little radio? He looked good, though. He did, man.
The most important thing about football is football.
I thought he had moved on away.
Yeah, that one's my favorite.
Someone else said they saw him, too. Yeah,
I thought he wanted to move back and coach at his high school or something.
He was going to Tennessee, somewhere, Smyrna, something like that. Yeah, I thought he was going to do it, but, man, he's in there, man. Hit that leg day, David.
I used to have one in my
phone.
Coach Cully? I used to have one in my phone under Smyrna.
Did you?
Okay.
Got the name.
Yep. Like I said.
Moved through Laverne to get right to it, didn't you? Moved through Laverne, then get to Smyrna. There you go.
That is a seasoned man.
I don't have that. I did, at that moment, I wish I had a little Tyler Miller in me. Tyler would have said something to him.
Oh, he'd have got a pick. Do. He'd have got a pick for sure.
He at least would have said, hey, Coach. I get into the mindset, man, I don't want to bother him. Because you know me, I don't want to be bothered either. At least be bothered.
I'm sure I want to be encouraged.
I don't want to be encouraged in front of a whole group of people in which you would not normally encourage people who are
don't
doing those
them
tasks.
Up.
But I will say, hey, Coach, how you doing? Because he did stare into my eyes a tad bit longer than just walking past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to play winning football for four quarters.
Oh, I think we could do it.
We got stuck at the trash can a little bit, too. I was wiped off a machine, and I was going to go throw it in the trash can. He was going over to the leg extension, and we kind of got blocked up there for a second.
I'm not a big wiper downer of machines in the gym.
Oh, you're the worst then.
Yeah, no.
You aren't. You sweat like hell.
You don't wash yourself with a washcloth.
I mean, if I'm just like dripping and in a public gym, then yeah, I mean, I'm obviously going to do it. I usually use a towel.
I know I'm a sweater.
Yeah, no. Your sweat ain't going to bother me. I like to get in there and grind and sweat with folks. That sweat ain't going to bother me.
That's nasty, man. That's how you get
I watched a chick that was, I thought I was a little overboard. Like, she's going over. Wiping down dumbbells.
Yeah, girl.
She went over and wiped down the dumbbells. Like, come on now. I just like, you're okay.
Now, look, if you're like, if you've got a lot of times, if you're sweating bad, like where you lay your head on a bench or something, maybe, you know, maybe it's super sweaty right there. Maybe you got a little product in your hair that's on the deal. Maybe we need to wipe that down a little bit. But just like overly sensitive about sweat on machines. Nah, man, that's what we're in there for. We're in there to get a sweat. I appreciate any human being that's putting that extra work in, getting that sweat in. The facility ought to have a place come in there and keep the germs down every night. They'll knock it down.
But you can get that sweat in, then wipe that sweat off.
It's the ass sweat
that gets me. When you seat it and you see that right in the ass portion of the seating.
Swamp butt.
Yeah. The back sweat doesn't give me as much.
I bet if she had them old tights running up that old crack and she got up off that thing, you wouldn't worry about that old.
Yeah, but then sweat. There's also people who sit in them like me.
All sweat is equal, man. Sweat's equal, man.
All bodily fluid.
Clint walk in there, Tyler, like, hell yeah, give me some of that.
Yeah, oh. I never check up. I wouldn't check up one bit.
No, don't push that off. I got it.
Look at that salted fluid I left for you.
You know what I'd do? I'd prefer you be focused enough where you're getting your ass on the next machine so you're keeping that heart rate up so you're getting work in instead of worrying and going around clean everything.
I do feel like, I feel like, yeah, Lauren said, nah, Clint, nope, can't do it.
Hey, get your workout in. If you so happen to lay back in somebody else's sweat, look here, let's be honest. We've all been places, we've all done things that are far worse than a little bit of sweat on a workout bench.
Well, those bodily fluids are more fun, though.
True, but it still doesn't mean that you just keep going on with it.
Again,
just because I played beer pong with... And just put that ball right back in that cup.
You are not lying.
And then acted like those two cups of water that has hair all the way down it to wipe them off is going to clean them.
I don't know how that didn't start a pandemic.
Shots we take in these bars around here where you think that guy washing them shot glasses real worried about it at 3 o'clock in the morning when he's shutting the place?
Alcohol kills germs.
I'd like to believe he is.
You're running into brick walls here. Just be courteous of your fellow gym goers and wipe your nasty sweat off.
I bet you have a lot of people looking at you with some judgment and disdain.
I'm coming in there to get that work in.
If you want to get that work in, come on.
If you want to walk around like you're too damn good to lay down in a little bit of sweat from time to time,
you're going to sweat. You just wipe it off, bro.
It's people like Clint that make me want to go wipe off every machine prior to getting on it anyway.
I promise you, if we worked out, you'd have zero problems. I'm not saying if I get up off there and I got ass sweat all over the bench, I'm not going to wipe it up. I'm simply saying going around and cleaning every bench that you get up off of and making a trip to the damn trash can. All you're doing is stalling. Get your ass in there and work out. Right. Finish it. Go hard. Right? Clean stuff up later.
I want to go hard without other people's sweat.
Come on, man. That's it, man. That's it.
Just wipe it down.
Now, I will say, if it were me and you in a gym, I wouldn't worry about it. But there's some other folks in here you just don't know. And I think you just courtesy to the other people.
I can think of someone.
Clint, that's a big ass no. Wipe your machine.
Well,
just lost a lot of respect.
I mean, the drive has more manners.
That's a little deep.
That's fine. Whenever you get serious about your workout and you want to grind, let me know.
But why are you worried about the workout?
Let's go find a gym, work out with some folks that ain't worried about the sweat or this or that. Let's go get it. I hope I sweat.
His rebuttal is whenever you want to start getting
whenever you want to get serious about this workout.
Soft ass, wiping workout, that sweat off.
I'm here for you.
Yeah. Yeah, get them. You have some. If you walk in a gym and the benches are super, super clean, that means ain't nobody using them.
And you like to say C too, don't you? You soft ass.
You ever forgot to get one? That's a good point. You ever got up and forgot to get one, and then see her sit down? And, oh damn!
No, but when I'm wiping someone else's sweat, I stare them down. I let them know. I'm wiping your nasty ass stuff up right now, a hole.
I bet you Clint Sterner might be the only one of the 16 crew that is not a wiper down of their sweat off.
I'm not saying I wouldn't wipe it off if I got up and was like, damn, I would wipe it off.
But
I don't get up and inspect the bench.
You don't hit it every time.
No, hell no.
I hit it every
hell
time.
Hell no. And I'm annoyed by those that do.
Too busy for those.
They're annoyed with your ass, too.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
Coming up, this has been something that has been talked about a lot about C.J. Stroud. Let's take it to our quarterback, our sweaty, cleaning of the bench quarterback.
Yeah.
Clint Sterner with his thoughts on what's going on around C.J. Stroud. That's next.